I do.
This is your favorite song, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah.
You go to your raves, dance parties.
After the game, let loose.
Coach Fox, pump fisting at the club.
I like to do that kind of Russian dancing where I get down and I kick my feet out. Hey. I do a lot of that.
How does that go at the club?
Not well.
Not so well, no. Yeah.
Sort of like my offense right now, not doing so well.
No.
No, not at all.
Not a whole
Is
lot
it how
clicking.
You lost your voice screaming at the clubs all the time?
I know, I lost it years ago. Shot right to the windpipe.
Voice had a good run.
It really didn't.
No.
Adam Hoge is joining us. He's our Bears insider. And Adam, I got a few questions for you. You know, we had Ed Obradovich on earlier, and even Ed Obradovich was speechless by the horror that was the Bears' attempt at anything in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I heard OB earlier, and I felt similar after the game yesterday going on with those guys with the locker room report. I mean, I had to listen back to what John – I mean, I was in the room with John Fox, and I still had to go back and listen to it a couple times to really process what he was saying about Mike Glennon's performance yesterday. And then today – he says, well, it was no different when I looked at the tape. But then he started to finally admit that, yeah, maybe his quarterback didn't play well yesterday. Maybe there were two or three plays that the quarterback would like to have back. I would think so.
Adam, he also had some head-scratching comments when he said today at Hallis Hall that they're developing two quarterbacks. And I'm just sitting there like, what? The only quarterback that matters in terms of development is Mitch Trubisky. Mike Glennon's a holdover. He's a veteran. He's a one-and-done type guy. So for them to even – everything should be surrounded about the development of Mitch Trubisky. That's it. That's what this year is about.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot in the last 24 hours. Really,
glad
the question,
someone has.
Yeah, really the question – by the way, I think that I'm gonna start forwarding the John Fox's transcripts to Roe. And then, Kevin, during your sports cast – when it's time to play a John Fox cut, just have Roe do it. And
right,
then
instead. I like
at
that.
At least, like, it still won't really make sense, but at least it'll be more entertaining.
I like that.
Because I just, what does John Fox have to gain right now with playing? Am I cutting it out with you guys?
Just slightly.
In my headset. I was trying to figure that out. Sorry. But what does John Fox have to gain by continuing to play Glennon here?
I think at this point, doesn't it feel like it's just a matter of like the right situation for Trubisky? Like not putting him against the Steelers or the Packers this early on, which I guess you can make the case for it doesn't really matter, but does it feel that way? Like that? Is that the actual case here, or are they just being stubborn with not putting Trubisky in?
Well, I continue to think that this has to be coming from above because, to me, the only one that really has a something to really gain from Glennon playing well is Ryan Pace, who was the one that spent $18.5 million guaranteed on this quarterback before he drafted Mitch Trubisky and clearly believes it's the right thing to slowly develop Trubisky, which I understand, and isn't nearly on as much of a hot seat as John Fox is. But Fox is the one that really, yesterday reminded me, you remember the last Mark Trestman season in 2014 when they went to New England?
Oh, who can forget?
And they got blasted. Mm-hmm. That was the first day where I remember sitting there going, maybe this guy might actually lose his job by the end of the year. And then they had a bye week, and then they went to Green Bay, and they got killed again. It was like 45-0 by halftime. And then that's when I was really like, okay, this is a problem. So I'm not saying we're there yet, but yesterday was the first day where I started to kind of accept this idea that John Fox might actually be in trouble here. And so he needs to win games. And I'm sorry, there's no one that can make a compelling argument that Mike Glennon gives you a better chance to beat the Steelers on Sunday than Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, and I remember talking to you in preseason. We asked you, well, what does John Fox have to do to keep his job? And for me, it was avoiding games like this, which I thought they would turn the corner here this season. And after week one, it was like, okay, they'll be competitive. It'll be an okay season. You know, you'll develop Trubisky, blah, 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 blah. And then these are the types of games we've seen over and over the past 3 or 4 years, whether it's with Trestman or whether it's with Fox. It was a complete disaster. And I thought this was the year they would kind of turn the corner there, but it's the same old story.
It is, and that's really the key big picture takeaway from yesterday. That's exactly it. I mean, and I asked Fox about that after the game yesterday because we sat in that exact same room after the game last year, and it was the exact same blowout loss. And that was last November. You're supposed to make progress. And the progress here, at a minimum, that you just said, Kevin, you're right. In these first 4 weeks of the season, I predicted they'd go 1-3 to start the year, but 0-4 was pretty likely still.
It was how they were losing these games.
But yeah. It wasn't they were going to get blown out in any of them. They were going to be competitive against these good teams that they're facing here early in the season. Yesterday was not competitive. That is a scary lack of progress from last season when they only won 3 games.
And this is one of the games that I think a lot of people thought Mike Glennon would really prove his stuff, at least, you know, to be in that position that he's in. It's his former team. He knew the defense. You know, he's back with that team that you would think he could form really well against, and this seemed to be such a disaster that you wonder, is it possible later this week we may hear the team say, hey, Trubisky's in? Shock us a little bit, maybe.
I thought maybe the as much as John Fox dismissed it yesterday immediately following the game, I didn't completely put so much stock in that.
He wouldn't considering say it
was right after the game, but he really doubled down today on that Glennon starting Sunday. He didn't really leave much wiggle room.
Here's the thing with Glennon. In 2 weeks, we've already seen his ceiling and we've seen the floor with Glennon. We've seen how bad he can be, which was yesterday, and we've seen basically week one is about as good as you're going to get from Mike Glennon.
And they still lost that game.
And they still lost. I mean,
and they're going to lose. And I don't even know that they show up for if I were them. I've been asking for this for the last couple of years. A forfeit is not the worst thing in the world. Let's just say that Hurricane Maria is because of that, or Maria or whatever, right, we can't do it because of that. We're not available.
Maria's not.
Or how about we just we do like what I do on Halloween is I turn off the lights. I don't answer the door when the Steelers show up.
We're busy.
Home.
Is that sort of like
we got that thing at noon? Yeah.
Possibility.
I'll put this on Sunday.
And then it's Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Green Bay.
On a short week.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
It's 0-4.
Lord, don't let them go 0-4.
And they will.
And then who knows what's going to happen after that.
Do you remember last year when we played that song?
Mm-hmm.
We were like, oh my God, they're going to go 0-4.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be awful. And we're like, what about 0-5? You know, what? And now I see no way that they don't go 0-4. And it's only 2 games into the season. They've lost half the team already to injury.
I know.
Yeah. Now I got to go down a road here with you, Adam. And I don't want to get your credentials pulled or you thrown out of Hallis Hall. So now, you know, tighten up.
Okay.
But I did hear something I thought was really interesting. Dan Hampton was talking about this. There have been a spate of injuries, of connective tissue injuries in the NFL. And there's a theory about this that it has to do with guys who are PED users. Because the guys who are using performance-enhancing drugs, they overwork out. They have a tendency to get little tears in the connective tissues around the muscles. And so when you're seeing large muscle groups have tears or things like that, whether it's biceps, pecs, thighs, things, places where you're hearing the kinds of injuries you didn't really hear about in generations past,
yeah,
that are now wide ranging in the NFL. That Hampton was at least making the argument that the league's got to look into that and see if there's any sort of connectivity to this, literally to the connective tissue issues. And you're hearing, I mean, the Bears have been just a triage organization for the last 3 seasons. It's just injury after injury. Last year we made a whole bit about the injury report, right? And then now we made such fun of it last year, they don't even do it anymore.
I there's a lot of theories out there, and I mean, who knows? Maybe there is some validity to that. I think part of it, too, is better football players don't get hurt as often because in a given play, they have the advantage, okay? And when you have the advantage, you avoid awkward hits, things like that. Now, still, guys, certainly tear their ACL, and you see devastating injuries for even some of the top stars in the league. But on a given play, Like, if you're a linebacker who's reaching your arm out kind of awkwardly because you're not necessarily in the right position, or you're about to hit someone who's actually bigger than you, maybe that's where your arm bends the wrong way and all of a sudden your pec tears. Okay, now I'm not saying that's what happened to Nick Kwiatkowski yesterday, but these are the types of things. When you're bigger, stronger, faster, you're less likely to get hurt when you're playing a dangerous sport and you're facing another guy who might be smaller than you. So the Bears don't have the most talented players in the world. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, that's it.
I think the biggest thing that I've just noticed from my time covering the league is I think the CBA that they signed about 6 years now, it was really scaled back the amount of practice time and the amount of hitting you do in the offseason. It really has had effect on the injuries because their bodies just are not conditioned as well to withstand these blows that they face on Sundays when they're not practicing that all during the summer. And I do think that that has had an effect.
Oh, boy.
If it makes you wonder how Pittsburgh is fearing the Bears, the Pittsburgh Gazette has five things to know about your opponent in week three, and it's quarterback, a question mark, Jordan Howard struggling, Terry Cohen a wild card, and receivers an issue, turnover margin also an issue.
Well, I noticed what was interesting. Atlanta did not game plan for Terry Cohen. They did not see him come.
No, that's true. Yeah.
He's no longer a secret.
Right.
And the Bucs clearly did.
But the Bucs were like, okay, they got nothing but this guy.
That's it.
So let's just focus. If he's on, we're going to make sure that he's the centerpiece to everything. And which then one would imagine that the offense would adjust to that and use a lot of play action and misdirection concerning him. But they didn't seem to write that plan. And I'm astounded by the ineptness of an NFL team like this. That how does I was so proud of OB yesterday when he said this on a show, and then he basically said it again today to us, which is how does the founding franchise of the NFL not With the money that these businesses make, how does this organization not right this ship to be at least competitive? I mean, they are the doormat of the NFL, and if this happened to the New York Giants, believe me, the New York Giants had some lean years, but it was never as bad as this. If this had happened to the Green Bay Packers, this would not, again, lean years, but never like this.
The Steelers? When have you ever seen them had a downstretch like this, where it's been embarrassment for 3 years?
Real franchises with real, with real traditions. Even, newer franchises like the San Francisco 49ers, which have a great winning tradition. I mean, this has just got to stop. And the Chicago Bears are so emblematic of the NFL. I mean, when you stop and you think about the NFL Hall of Fame and the representation by the Chicago Bears, and you think about George Halas and the founding and the Halas Trophy, I mean, it's one of the most important franchises in sports, let alone the NFL. And to let it fall into this level of disrepair, I think that John Fox has lost his motivation to really be. I mean, I think this is a blizzard of a market to work in when the press turns on you. I get it. I mean, it's happened to a lot of other guys.
Hard for the players too, I think, like Glennon, for instance.
Right. Well, because but the team did that to Glennon because they hired him and then they pumped him up, and then 2 weeks later they traded up a position to get the guy at number two who was going to go at number three. Mm-hmm. It's just impossible.
A few things to respond to there. One, I do think that going back to John Fox's immediate arrival here in Chicago, in that whole controversy with Kevin White's injury, where he didn't really tell the complete truth, and then he seemed caught off guard by the media's reaction to, like, wait a minute, why are you lying to us, and why are you restricting all these? Restricting our access, which has never happened before. That really kind of set this whole thing in the wrong way, I feel like, going back a few years ago. And then meanwhile, just kind of responding to what you're talking. By the way, four playoff appearances in 23 years. Four playoff appearances in 23 years, the Chicago Bears.
Yeah,
that's really bad. And the thing I've really noticed just real quick in the last couple seasons is just the apathy that's kind of starting to set in, not just locally. And by the way, bro, have you ever heard of a season opener where almost 5,000 people didn't show up.
Yeah, no.
5,000 people didn't show up to the season opener for the Chicago Bears. What's it going to look like Sunday when the Pittsburgh Steelers, whose fans always travel well,
yeah, it's going to see a sea of gold and black or whatever the hell color that is. It's not throwback, is it? Because when they put that throwback on, they look at the Three Stooges like bumblebees, right? Yeah. It's awful.
They do look like that.
Those are the worst jerseys.
Yeah. They are.
Oh. I kind of like them.
All right. Thank you, Coach Fox. Coach Fox will have a wonderful career as an assistant somewhere. You know,
this might be the last stop.
He might be headed to retirement after this.
This is it. Well, I can tell you this: it's done now, because if he goes 0-4, he's gone. By maybe they wait. Maybe he has the one Hail Mary of Mitch Trubisky starting in Minnesota, and then if that doesn't go well, it's over. He's gone by the middle. He'll be the first casualty of the NFL season. All right.
Don't rule it out.
I can't rely. I just said it. Not allowed. All right, Adam, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
I'm Hogue. Here is Violetta with the last traffic report of the afternoon.